Turn to chapter. We're going to turn to Titus. This is the series of comments from a gainsayer. Had been writing to me for weeks and a couple of months here, since June and July, that he doesn't understand what I'm saying about the Paul only thing. And I sent him a couple of articles from another guy that's a Paul guy. And he's mid-Acts. But he had a couple of good articles, of course, on the doctrinal part of it. Not the church history or the standards or Titus or Timothy or stuff, but it was the basic thing. And this guy still, you know, poo-pooed it and all that kind of stuff. So I thought what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through his stuff. I'm going to read off his responses or my question and just, it says in Titus, for example, 1:9, well, look at that thing. We are, as pastors and preachers and you folks out there, we're to hold fast, it says here. Holding fast the faithful word. So it's the faithful word. We can't go, the word is not going to turn against us. And yet so many people come up with these justifying reasons for why, you know, God didn't answer this prayer and God's not doing this. He's a liar. He didn't tell the guy on the cross the right thing because he knew he wasn't going to believe. I mean, the answers I get from people are just bizarre. But it's a faithful word, as he has been taught. And this is talking about a pastor up there, the bishop thing, as he calls him once in a while. And that's to be our job. Our job is to hold fast the faithful word. I've been taught this by Paul, by King James Bible Rightly Divided, the risen Savior, actually, through the Holy Spirit here, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, and sound doctrine isn't just Titus chapter 2, but that is sound doctrine in Titus chapter 2. So sound doctrine would be Paul's doctrine that we're supposed to teach in every church, and he's our apostle. He is the apostle, not amongst the bunch. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, and it's as plain as day. But anyway, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Now, this guy is a very polite guy. He's a very nice young man. And he's not unruly, but he's a vain talker because his answers are just trying to justify religion is what he's trying to do. This is a religion that people have, and I've had. I don't want Paul to become a religion, the risen Savior teachings, to become a religion. It's the truth. It is truth. And it says, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, which would be the Jews during Paul's time, and today it would be those that are trying to follow the Jewish teachings. But he says here in verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And that is exactly what a religion is. It's a way to get money from people, to continue their denomination, to keep their building, to keep their stuff going, to keep their carpeting, to keep their plumbing, to keep their air conditioning, to keep their coffee house, to keep their parking lot, to keep their neat building from the olden days. And I've been there. I've been that part of my religion. And it's for money. Now, they say they don't make very much. Well, pastors in my boots, for example, or even then, or, you know, there isn't much money there to be doing it for the money. But, boy, look at these guys out there that are doing the big shot stuff. Look at the TV evangelists. Look at these big guys. Look at the money they're making. It's just unnecessary. I don't even know why they have to make that kind of money. Other than they go to the Gospels where it says, give it all. And so they do, and this guy gets it. So it says here, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, even one of their own people said, Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. How many times do we talk to people that know their pastor's not teaching the right thing, that know the people aren't growing, that they know their music is wrong, they know these things, and yet they still attend. They still go. They can't pull the plug. I know there's reasons. I know a husband, a man, when he gets a hold of this stuff, can't just walk out because the wife and the kids are just so ingrained in the church. But when you're by yourself or whatever, they even admit they're not telling the truth. Evil beasts and slow bellies, this witness is true. So Paul agrees with this guy that said, their own, you know, this whole crowd is just wrong. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, which is what the Jewish teachings would be today, because they don't work. It's there for learning. It's there to help us understand the tribulation that's coming, the gospel days that are past, and commandments of men, which is what they're coming up with, that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. This is what we're dealing with here. And if we are so close to Romans 11:22, you know, when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, God will be done to the Gentiles. And you're looking at the news, the computer, the 666, the chip they're taking, the economy going the way it is, and the wars and the earth, all that stuff that's just adding up more and more and more. Not for before rapture, but before his coming. But, you know, we've got to get out of here first. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So these gainsayers need to be put in their place. Well, we are so far gone. Their mind and conscience is defiled. And he says in Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 6, he's got that long list. You know, their corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. They're supposed to gain his godliness. This is what we're dealing with here. So, because we don't have millions of people in the website, because they're not pulling in thousands of dollars to make money, kind of a thing on this web, then it must not be right. No, that's not the case at all. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at these comments from this gainsayer, and we're going to try to show how that comment, that belief on his part, is wrong doctrinally. We'll show them. We'll show the exhortation of where he's wrong. We'll compare it to the doctrine of Paul. And he's not going to get it. I really don't believe he's going to get it, because his mind and his conscience is defiled. He's so caught up in his religion that they can't see it. I've learned over these years that if you don't see the problem, we can't make the problem exist. They have to realize that something is not right. I think everybody on this list, and anybody that listens to this later, if the sound recording works here, that you are listening because you know something's wrong. And you're seeking the truth of an answer. And you find the truth, and then becomes a whole new war zone for us. We fight ourselves. And after a while, we quit fighting ourselves, and we just kind of give in, and we got Paul's doctrine, but we're not trying to make any kind of a walk thing because we're tired of the flesh battles we have with ourselves, and we just go and live happily ever after with everybody else. It seems to be the cycle here. Well, let's just go to this stuff here, and let's see if we can find some gainsayers. I've got one here. And we're going to deal with his stuff. Now, we know, we've learned enough, that we need to try to maintain a manner of life that's pleasing to God. And we all know we're not, but we're closer than we were before. And we're trying. We know that this world is forcing us to have both incomes. This world is forcing us to be in debt. This world is forcing us to go their way regarding the money. We use the number system already, WWW666. We already use it. But it's not that what's the point of not using it? Because it's not the mark yet. But he will use that as the number. So we know that's going to happen someday. But we're trying to be the Christian, what a Christian used to be 100 years ago or 50 years ago. They tried to live right. They tried not to do things that the world was so strong in doing. And yet the world has never been as strong as it is. The high tech, the special effects, the living high quality, because we just buy a charge it anyway. We're so ingrained by this world. The schooling, there's more homeschoolers just quitting everywhere. They're going back into the world system little by little because they're tired. They're tired of it, and they're afraid they're going to lose their kid. I'll tell them right now, they're losing their kid anyway. If the consistency within the home isn't what Paul would have it to be, it's going to be a disaster someday. Kids are going to realize that it was a religion, and they'll go. So we're trying to maintain this life for our friends and for our families and neighbors and, you know, where people we work around and all that. We're trying to be the Christian. Now, the scriptures tell us how to live to please God, not to please man. And we realize that it's going to cause some problems. But now, we know that Paul also tells us from those that walk disorderly against what Paul teaches, we're to turn away from those people, we're to withdraw from them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3. So we're not going to try to convince everybody here. We're just not. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, we deal with people that we care about, and they're so against it that we just can't get ourselves to finally say, okay, you know, walk away from them. Let it go. And we're the ones that are miserable. They're not. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Look at that. It says, in verse 1, finally pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Delivered from them. So we're living in a world where all men have not faith. I mean, few people have faith anymore. They may have their own strong faith, but they don't have his faith. And these are unreasonable. And you try to reason with them, it doesn't work. So there are people that we don't need to apply this to. Not, okay, just because they're a gainsayer, they're not going to listen. Okay, so we're not interested in those that are just against Paul, walking against Paul. Look at 2 Timothy 4. We've got this guy that greatly withstood Paul's words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. You know Alexander? The coppersmith? Look what Paul says in verse 14. The Lord rewarded him according to his works. Well, we know what that means. His works are flesh. They're full of flesh. They're attached. They're full of sin. And he's gonna burn with his works. That's what Paul said. And what was Alexander doing? He was withstanding greatly what Paul had to say. Well, Paul stuck in there. People left him. You know, his friends left him. And he was okay with that because the Lord stood with him. He had the book. And he knew what to say and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Paul was understanding that it had to be said. He didn't get any results. He didn't care. It had to be said, and they heard. Gentiles might hear. And Alexander heard, and Paul says, okay, fine. He doesn't want it, Lord. You know, the two places he sends people to Satan, and here he says the Lord reward him according to his work. We're not going to win everybody. We don't even have to try to win everybody. Look down to verse 10. We got the Demas people. For Demas has forsaken, having loved this present world. Okay? They're off to the world. Paul in those two places, let them go. That's the final thing. We've got the manner of life. We've got the from such a void, withdraw, which we still don't do. We've got the rebuke and the reproof. And the last thing we've got is to send them off to the world. Let them go. And that's it. Let the devil pick at them. It isn't God going to work on them. It's the devil that's going to whack at them. And that's hard. It's hard for us to say that about people we care about. But that's where we can't lose our joy and our goal and our calling as such, you know. We go to 2 Timothy 2:16. What's the point of going after those profane and vain babblers? What they have to say will eat as does a canker in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 16 and 17, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, overthrown this, and they overthrow the faith of people. And remember, back in Titus, it says that these guys are going to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for money, for filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it to make money. And they're subverting whole houses. It doesn't say homes. It just says houses. It's destroying the whole place. And we're living in a day where just about everybody is destroyed. But we've got these few people that are willing to talk and willing to look into this stuff and answer. You know, and I'll show you the things he says. I know this guy means well. I know he's following what he's been taught. And chances are he's only answering me what he's been told to answer. Even. I'm sure he's not even coming up with this stuff on himself, on his own. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Well, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. So, So stay away from it. And if we're going to talk to these people, fine. If they'll listen, fine. If they won't, fine. Let them go. But what if it's somebody, yeah, well, you still got to let them go. And then just another one. There's more, but I'm not going to spend much time on this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay, there's where we're going to be reproving. There's where we're going to be getting into issues is with the people that are involved with the unfruitful works of darkness. But you have to have no fellowship with that. You don't go to a bar to talk to people about drinking. You don't go to a rodeo with all their dirty jokes and all their immodesty for the, you know. But what do? I'll tell you what we do. Well, I'll tell you what's happening. People are sending their kids back to where they have kept them from for years, because when they get older, they go to it anyway. Okay, so that justifies putting them there when they're younger. And then they wonder why 10 years later, 5 years later, they're even worse. And it's not because they haven't been taught. It's because they haven't been shown what it is to be a Christian. They're told, we don't do this, we don't do that, we can't go here, we can't go there. But we never show them what we can do. We never have any joy about it in the first place. So the place is a mess. It's just a mess. And who do we talk to? Just about nobody anymore. But for those gainsayers that are willing to talk, then let's talk to them. But we have to show them, like it says in Titus again, we've got to show them the sound doctrine. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul still tells us to talk to people. I'm not saying we're justifiably not going to talk to anybody. No, we need to still try to talk to people. 2 Timothy 2:24 tells us how to do it. We know that. We know this reference here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So these gainsayers, these people, they are their own worst enemy. But we have to realize in verse 26 that they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. We can't do it for them. You've got to show them the doctrine and then step aside. It doesn't do it. I don't understand why we still want to give people things that help. We think will help them see the truth. Yeah, they need to realize the economy is bad. Listen, people out there know the economy is bad. They know we lost the gold reserve. They know they know all this stuff. They're learning it every day in the news. Everybody's coming up with what's wrong. Just like the politicians. Everybody can bash Obama, but they don't have anything better. In fact, the new guy that jumped in, he's as bad as Obama. If people would just read his list of stuff. So these guys don't have the answer, but they all know what's wrong. And they all pray, and they all talk about the Ten Commandments, and they talk about God, and the religious aspect is entering into the Republican side. It's just religion. It's just a farce. It's just a folly. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are people we can talk to. He tells us to actually talk to the rich. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God. Tell them that. They're trusting in their riches. They may not admit it, but they're trusting in their riches. They got all these ideas for people to do, but they don't do them. They've got the money to help. They've got the money to help this Paul stuff get out there. It says, in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So do all the things that we have, are we to enjoy them, the worldly things? He says, charge them that they do good, in verse 18, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Distribute their riches. What else? Willing to communicate. Are they willing to talk? Why? Because they're laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, then stay away from the modern junk, he says. So yeah, we can talk to those people. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've got people watching us. Verse 4, 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things in verse 15. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. What, our income? Our material things? No, the fact that we are okay with the way things are going. And it's tough. We've got everybody chipping away at us, everybody whacking away at us, within the family, within our friends, everywhere. So, how do they see us? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, as Paul's doctrine, continue in them. Don't quit. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself, obviously, and them that hear thee. And it doesn't say them that see thee, it says them that hear thee. So they hear from us, they see us, they hear from us, they realize what's going on. There's communication going on there. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says something I think is kind of, I never saw it before. Simple little word, Ephesians chapter 3. We know that chapter 3 is a fantastic place to tell people about the importance of Paul, because he starts, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," in verse 1, "if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you," which they haven't, people have not heard this, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," as I wrote afore in a few words, "whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." What is this mystery? "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that," here's a mystery, "the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel." That's the mystery. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power," get ready here, "unto me who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ," and here's the word, "and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." We need to make these people see it. What people? Not those that walk disorderly, not those that have no faith, not those that withstand everything Paul says, not those that have left for the world, not those modern Christians that have a religion, not those profane and vain babblers, not those plain and unfruitful works of darkness department, but those that oppose themselves and are trying to do the right thing, but they're wrong. Those that are rich, that can do something for the program of Paul. And then those that are watching us, we need to make them see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's all Mr. Gainsayer. What is that? And it goes on, you know, verse 10, "to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." We can now learn about God's wisdom. It's available to us now when it wasn't before. To make them see it. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would please. Again, back to 1 Timothy. One of the things we're going to recognize here, that a lot of things that we're dealing with here come from Timothy and Titus. That's why this stuff is supposed to be taught in the churches. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." What is that? And to us today, that's the book of Timothy. That's how Timothy preaches at us. "Holding faith and a good conscience. Well, are we walking as clean as we can be?" No, is that the conscience we're talking about? No, our conscience is clean because of what Christ has done for us. Not because we've stopped anything. "And so which some having put away concerning faith." See, our conscience is good because of our faith with what Christ has done for us. Paul fought all the time himself. He fought all the problems and the battles of the flesh. His mind wanted to serve God, but he really served his flesh, which is serving sin. It's still there. It still takes place. It's just not registered as sin, and it's not imputed to us. It's not attached to us, and will not be judged for it. But the works themselves will be judged, and then if they are a sinful kind of a work, then it will burn. But there is no law to call what we just did a sin anymore. But it'll burn up in the works department. So we have to hold faith and with a good conscience, not let that faith become a shipwreck to us. And it is happening. I know things that are going on in people's lives that are just ready to destroy them. I know things going on in mine that are trying to destroy me regarding the Paul stuff. It's becoming really intently horrible for everybody. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 reminds us that we ought to be able to still show people as well as tell them that things are different for us. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what people need to see. They don't need to see you going to the same church, going over the same stuff, and then yet just being more critical about it, and you know it's wrong. They don't need to see us going to the same things we did before we were saved. And I know now people that are going to some of the same stuff they went to before they were saved, they stopped for a while because they got a hold of being a Christian with Paul. And now they're going back because they know that they've got the liberty to do so. And it's going to destroy their kids. It's going to cause someone to stumble. Who? Their family, their kids, their neighbors, their friends who have watched them. Do they see that you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God? Or do they see you going back to the same old thing? Verse 10, and to wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We don't have to deal with the wrath that's coming. Well, your house was flooded, your house burned. Well, yeah, this is life. But from the wrath of God, that's the tribulation. We don't have to be here for that. And then we finally go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. We're going to read a series of verses here. Now watch closely. This is talking to us about being as a father. Most people don't know what it's like to have a proper father. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. That even after that we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So talking to these gainsayers is going to be contentful. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. Now, for neither at any time used we flattering words. We know the preachers flatter us all the time. As you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Not of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. These are the ones we want to talk to. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Is this what you're getting in your churches out there? This is not what you're getting. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. There's your verse that tells you how to be a father. There's a you exhort, you charge, you tell them, you give them a charge of life, that you're there for comfort. That you would walk worthy of God. Wouldn't you like it if your kids would walk worthy of God? Now, the tribulation, they'll have to walk the truth. That's what it says in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. But right now, walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. And then it goes on. So, who do we talk to here? Well, we don't talk to certain people. And there are some people God would have us still talk to. There's still hope for them. And he also tells us to go to the gainsayers. Now, let's go back to Titus. We're just going to read a number of verses here. And follow along and just let this whole thing sink in when it comes to talking to these gainsayers that go back after the Paul thing. And again, these are the ones that are not shut out. It's this one guy, I'll go through his reasons, some of them tonight in the next couple of weeks, and I'll show you what he says. And it is. It's showing a man who is destitute of the truth. It is showing a man who has no clue about what's going on here. He's got his religion, and he's deep in it. And one of the hardest things for us is when I get a hold of the King James Bible, get a hold of the Paul stuff, the hardest thing is not only just to get rid of your religion, but to despise it. The church you were formerly taught at was wrong. They had a lot of good qualities, good people. The pastor cared, blah, all that kind of stuff, blah, 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 blah. But we have to despise that stuff because it's sending people to hell. It's denying the truth. It's subverting whole houses, just like he says. The Sunday school program, the teen program, the whole bit in this country is destroying these people. So Titus chapter 1, verse 9, there it is again, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now we need to learn sound doctrine. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, especially they of the Bible colleges, Bible Institute, blah, 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 whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, says Paul. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now chapter 2, he says, But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Okay, this is the stuff that should be spoken. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be behavior as becometh holiness. I mean, they want to be holy, but just do the right thing as a Christian. And Timothy's full of that stuff. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, not to put up with the fact that they don't. But it comes to a point where you have to let them go into the world. That they may teach the young women, but that when they were younger, did the older ladies teach the younger ladies? I know many, many older ladies that never did teach them this stuff because they didn't have it either. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I like this, obedient to their own husbands, not to somebody else's husband. That would be like a boss. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Yeah, if the young people can get a hold of this. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. First Timothy chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3. And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Purloining is stealing, small, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That's sound doctrine. That's the way we should be. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, while we're trying to live soberly, righteously, and godly, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Which is why he's got to have the judgment seat of Christ, so he can make our works acceptable. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We still do. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So God doesn't love everybody, but he's offered himself toward everybody. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men, but avoid, and it comes into the heretic stuff, which is what we're going to be dealing with here. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. What a waste of time. A man that is an heretic after first and second admonition reject. Okay, so give these people two shots at it, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, be condemned of himself. So we've got to keep these things in mind. So we're going to be talking to a gainsayer. He's given me his thoughts. He's given me his comments. He's withstood Paul's words. He went against them. He's given me his thoughts. Now it's time to turn back and put some sound doctrine on this young man and show him what the scriptures say and how he is just justifying everything from Genesis to Revelation, trying to apply into his life. And we're going to show this guy sound doctrine. And if he can do it, we'll get him. If we can't, oh well. But he sent me enough stuff that it's going to be a series of things here. And I hope it helps us all, if we get an opportunity with a few people that care anymore about what is right, and then we can turn our lives away or bring them with us. It's hard to say. But I know that we are trying to reach so many people. We'd like to. And I think that most of the people we're trying to reach are not reachable. And the scriptures tell us for most of those people, stay away, you're wasting your time. But he does tell us to go after these gainsayers, the sound doctrine, and to exhort to them and show them this stuff. So that's what we'll do. And we'll start it tonight. And I hope they can have all these computers sounded. Maybe it's a sound card. Maybe it just needs a new computer. Who wants to buy a new computer? Anyway, whatever. We'll make it work. We'll go to the last possible person is talked to, or if I'm destroyed in the process, whatever. So there you go. It's a short introduction. We're going to go over this gainsayer stuff tonight, and their answers are almost funny. But how did you get that out of that verse? You just wanted, it's just like evolution. You really believe that we all came from a rock? You really believe that kind of thing? We all just evolved little by little, and they'll do anything they can to just deny God. And these gainsayers will do anything they can, they'll say anything they can to deny the risen Savior. And they'll deny Paul, and they'll deny the King James Bible. Even in their process. This guy, who's King James guy only, he says, added a word, and he still has not admitted it yet. Anyway, I'll tell you about that one tonight. It's interesting stuff. I just hope I don't make it boring for you. And I hope I can get this stuff working and not be frustrated with it, and hope we stay strong with all the battles and attacks we have going against us all. I know some of you have some really serious health issues in your lives, and if only we knew how we could help people. There you go.